Hey, welcome to Weekend Service, everyone. Pastor Dwayne here, and welcome to my tulip garden. Yeah, it's brilliant, and I love it. It's so bright colors, and I love the bright colors at this time of the year. So, hey, thank you so much for all of you that are participating and helping us out on these virtual online church services. I just so appreciate your gifting and your care and your stewardship and offering your gifts to us, the church. And so for the many, I can't name you all by name, but I just want to say a huge thank you. So we've got a great service plan for you today. We've got Tim Bolter leading us in worship. We've got Pastor Jeremy. Yes, Pastor Jeremy's back in the house, and he's delivering the message on Jesus as our healer. And so why don't you take just a quick moment, and on the church online chat platform here, why don't you just say hello and let us know where you're watching from? That's really important for us. We want to know what the scope is and who we are reaching and where we're present virtually. We want to know where you're at. And so I'm going to do it. I'm in Armstrong, just like that. All right. Good. Well done. I just want to draw your attention to the different resources on this page. Remember, you can download VAC Kids, VAC Tots. There's a give button. You can request live prayer. All those things are here for you, and we encourage you to participate in that way. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, you can still watch. I would jump over to the Church Online platform, though, so you can engage with the chat with the rest of the church. And we'd love to see you there. So as we go into worship right now, can I invite you into doing something? See, one of the things that happens when I'm outside is I get really, really distracted. So these colors, I just want to grab one and I want to snap it off and I want to bring it out. Of course, then I want to smell it. Ah, amazing. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. What I'm suggesting is we're moving into worship. I would encourage you to bring those in your house around you. I would encourage you to set aside the distractions and, you know, your devices, unless you're watching this on one of your devices, set them aside. The words will be present for you. You'll be able to sing along. And as you do that, what happens is there's something that happens that allows your heart and your mind to focus in on Jesus Christ and prepares your heart to receive the word that's spoken today. So as we transition into worship with Tim, looking forward to this and sharing this together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could care? It was mine too, till I met you. I was breathing but not alive, and all my failures I tried to hide. It was mine too, till I met you. Oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. An orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is in the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. It's when you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. My name. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
You're the God of this city. You're the King
of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. No one. to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
Thanks so much, Tim, for leading us so well. We're just so appreciative of your gifts. And for those of you that might not have known, he was on Facebook Live two Tuesdays ago. And every Tuesday night, we're running a Facebook Live worship set. And each week it'll be somebody different. And so just encourage you to join us there. Also, this is the normal part of the service where we would pause and we would give us an opportunity to worship the Lord through our giving. One of the important things in these days is to make sure that the ministry of the church stays strong in preparation for the needs that will come in the future. And so we don't know the end of all things, but we do know that we are positioning ourselves well by being faithful in our giving and by being faithful in our worship through this way. So church, you've always been, you always will be, and so I just want to say a huge thank you for that. And so as we take a moment, let me just pray. Let me just pray over our offering moment. You can give through hitting the give button up top of this online resource, or you can do our text to give, and we'd love to have you participate in that way. So, Father, we just thank you for your blessings and your faithfulness to us. We know that these are unprecedented days, and yet you still provide the things that we need. And so, Lord, through this moment, we pray that you would bless the giving. We pray that you bless those that have and those that have not to give, and that you would continue to be active and present in these times. So we thank you, Jesus. And together we said, amen. One of the things that I really love about being able to do it this way is, number one, it's not cold. Number two, I can pick the flowers again. A good smell. But then there's the unknowns. So you don't see her, but I've got a dog right here, and she wants me to play fetch. She's pushed her ball toward my feet two or three times. Also, my neighbor is mowing his lawn. So we're going to proceed. Some of you may have questions about our transition. Some of you may also have questions about why the church isn't open and when we're going to open and how we're going to open. First and foremost, in regards to transition, I just want to assure you that the board is continuing to work. Our transitional coach, Darren Ride, he is finishing up the lead pastor profile. The board will be taking a final look at it and then making some decisions from there. So it has slowed, just like everything else in the season. But we're still moving forward a little bit at a time. Also, in regards to the church, back on March 13th, I made a statement about providing information and issuing a call. And issuing the call is, we need to care for our neighbors. We care for our neighbors by protecting our neighbors. We're not being afraid, we're being responsible. And so, yes, the church is still closed, and yes, we're still meeting through a virtual church, but we're doing our absolute best to bring you quality content and being able to connect in this way. And I can assure you, church, as soon as we can open, we will. And as soon as we can provide any other type of gathering, we will. But we know that that may be a challenge in the coming days. And so I just want to encourage you that continue to subscribe to our social media feeds, continue to check out our websites, that kind of thing, and we'll keep you up to date as we can. As we shift our mindset into kind of where we're going today, and we're talking, Pastor Jeremy's bringing a word on Jesus as our healer. I want to just kind of bring to the forefront, once again, our frontline workers. And in the days ahead, there'll be some interviews with some of them coming up, and we're looking forward to that. hopefully in your normal rhythm, you've found a way that you can continue to pray for all of them. But we just want to encourage you that even as they are caring for us, and even as they are operating in the arena of healing and care and just being there for those of us that need them in this time, they too are in need of care and healing and protection. And so we can't maybe physically do anything, but we certainly can as the body of Christ. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is, would you join me in prayer? And let's ask our Heavenly Father to intervene here. And so, Father, as we come today, we are so grateful for those of our frontline workers that have put their own lives in harm's way. Those that have had to maybe sacrifice time with family, those that maybe have had to be away from family, depending on what their circumstances are. But Lord, they've offered themselves, and they are serving our communities in such a high capacity and in such a wonderful way in this time. And so, Lord, create creativity within us to care for them in perhaps ways that we haven't dreamt of yet. Would you please protect them? Would you bless their families for their care and their time and the work that they're doing in this season? But most of all, would you be their protection, their strength, and their guard in this season? Bless their families with abundant peace. Bless them with strength. Bless each worker with protection and health, and guard their lives as they continue to work in these times. Lord, help us to do what we can. Help us to follow the responsibilities and the requests that have been set out for us by our authorities, and help us to care for each other well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church, this is the time for us to care for one another well, not to operate out of fear, but to be a source of encouragement, caring for one another in these days ahead. So as we move into this word that Pastor Jeremy has, I just encourage you to allow your heart and spirit to be open. Allow the word to settle in deep and allow it to become a truth for the days ahead.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeremy Kinneberg. I'm one of the pastors here at Vernon Alliance Church, and it is a pleasure to be able to spend some time with you this weekend. Lots has changed over the last few weeks, and it's good to be able to come back to that thing that is unchanging, the Word of God and in who He says He is. This weekend, we continue on in our series, The Fourfold Gospel, a look at Jesus as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. If you're new to the church or you're exploring the faith right now and just trying to figure out who Jesus is, this is a great place to start. This series is awesome because it'll give you an opportunity to get to know a little bit more about who Jesus is and what we actually believe in the Christian faith. This series, we're going to be taking a look at some of the key elements or distinctives of what the Alliance Church believes, and we'll be exploring who we say we are as followers of Jesus Christ in this church. If you missed the last couple weeks, I want to encourage you to go back over the last couple preaches from Pastor Chet 2 weeks ago and from Pastor Darren last weekend, and stick with us next weekend as we talk with Pastor Will about Christ as our coming King. Last week, Pastor Chet spoke about Jesus being our Savior. All of us have sin in our lives and are accountable for that sin in ways that we have lived outside of our relationship with God or lived in sinful ways. We're accountable for that. We have to actually pay a price for that, and it's a price that we can't pay on our own. And Jesus Christ, fully God, comes into our world. He comes to each one of us, and He gave His life for us, fully man, so that we could experience the righteousness of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus is our Savior, who makes us right with God and gives us right relationship with God. We believe that Jesus is our sanctifier. He's the one who works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. Jesus is making us more like Him. We heard about that last weekend, to become holy as He's holy. In Christ, we're positionally sanctified already in heaven. God has already seen us that way because of what Jesus has done for us and because we've received what Christ has done. Now, in our lives right now, we are being sanctified, that process of becoming more like Jesus and walking out our faith. Essentially, He's the King and we're a part of His kingdom, so we are taking on the culture of the King in our lives. And next weekend, we're going to hear from Pastor Will that Jesus is our coming King. We believe that he is our living, currently living King, and that one day he will return for his people, his beloved. In the meantime, he's calling us to be living representatives of his kingdom to the rest of the world, loving him, loving others, and loving well in this world around us. This weekend, I have the privilege to talk about Jesus being our healer. This is an area of the faith journey that I've stepped into, and I really enjoy, and I've seen God at work in my life and in the life of others as well. And this morning and this evening, both services, I'll be talking about that. As I begin, would you permit me to pray as we open the Word today? Father, I would ask that in these next moments that you would make our hearts come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit to the truth of who Jesus really is. That we would see him for who he said he is, that we would get to know him in a new, fresh way, and that our encounter with him today through the Word would make us a bit more like him, but also more open to walk as he walked, to take on the culture of the King and the Kingdom, and to live well in these days. And we praise you, God, and we thank you for what you're doing in the church and in the world around us. And we invite you to speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps many of you may know my story and my journey of faith with Jesus, but some of you may not. I grew up in a denomination and church that believed in healing and understood that Jesus has made healing possible in his atoning work on the cross. Our denomination's statement of faith says this clearly. Provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick and anointing with oil as taught in the scriptures are privileges for the church in this present age. This is from the Christian Missionary Alliance Statement of Faith. In James 5, we're given a path to walk when we're in trouble, when we're sick, or even when we're just having a really great day. The path is to walk a life of prayer. We're encouraged in all circumstances to pray, to speak to God, to reach out to him, but also to listen and to wait on him. Regarding sickness or being troubled or unwell, James says that we're to pray and to call others around us to pray with and for us in our time of need. These are to be faithful, mature believers who can walk in the fellowship with God and call out for God for healing. When we pray, we believe that God hears our prayers and that those prayers are actually powerful and effective, that they matter, that our prayers are meaningful. So when we pray, we believe that God can actually heal. It says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:13-16. Now, growing up, we didn't talk about healing and miracles, though we believed in it. From what I saw and what was going on around us, we would pray for someone when they were sick, but often it was with a lackluster, non-committed prayer that would often give God all the outs he could possibly need in order to not heal. We would give God the space to encourage, to comfort, to care for, to love on, to bless, to be with the loved ones in their time of need. But so rarely was there a prayer or even a teaching on the God who heals or the God who is able to be our healer, because he said he is. There was a lot of if it's your will prayers, but not a lot of God, we believe that you can do this. We prayed with a giant maybe in our hearts, with little conviction that God could actually heal. The problem with giants is that they may be and often are the thing that stands in the way of your healing and your encounter with God. Do we believe that Jesus is able to heal today? I would say we do. It seemed, though, in my journey as a younger person, as if healing, though it was indeed purchased at the cross of Christ, and it was a reality for us today, was not necessarily for today. Isaiah 53:4-5 says this, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." It was a purchased reality of the cross, but that purchase seemed only to apply to the early church and very few exceptional other individuals throughout history. At least that's how it looked. we'd have missionaries that would come in when I was a kid, and they would tell these amazing stories of how God had showed up in a desperate moment, how he had healed somebody's body, and they would share that Jesus is still the healer. This was stirring up my own faith and wanting more of that. Jesus was still healing. It just seemed he wasn't in my part of the world. The more I watched people get prayer and the more I saw people not healed consistently, the more I became uncomfortable with the way things were. As this happened, this discomfort seemed to line up increasingly with my discomfort of the lack of depth and intimacy, relationship, and power in the church. Just an involvement and discussion around the Holy Spirit were missing as well, and I wanted more with God. I wanted the deeper life of Christ. I grew up in an amazing church with amazing pastors and amazing people. I just wanted more, and as I saw in the Word, those who asked for more and sought after what God had for them often found more from him. Those who hungered and thirsted for righteousness found it. I wanted more. Now, God honored my heart's cry, but maybe not in the way that I wanted him to. It wasn't what I asked for sure, but it's what he wanted me to experience so that I can understand what he had for me. God honored my heart's cry. He was opening my eyes and wanting to open my eyes to his power, to his love, and to the healing that he was able to do in and through me if I was willing to step in. But again, it wasn't the way that I thought it would be. It was winter 2002, and I was living in Regina, Canadian Bible College. We were in the last semester of our schooling there, and we had stepped into an opportunity, myself and a few friends, to go from Regina to Indonesia as a part of a missions trip. Now, we'd survived Y2K, 9/11, and of course, as living in Regina, it was winter, so it was minus 42 degrees Celsius when we left Regina heading for Indonesia. We landed in plus 40 Celsius in muggy, hot Surabaya. We partnered with some incredible international workers who were living the gospel out in a place where there was it was closed to the gospel, and many of the people were closed in general to the work of Jesus and even who he was. We couldn't even talk about Jesus there. One night, we'd been playing with the kids all day, and I got sick. Really sick. We'd been playing soccer with the kids in the refugee village that we were in. It was just not a great place as far as health level would go. There was sewage in the ditches, unsanitary conditions all around us. And that evening, I began to present what the missionaries referred to as a form of dysentery. We were on an island far from a hospital, far from medical care or attention, and I was in extreme discomfort, extreme pain, and it was horrible, honestly. The whole night, it was just a really tough night, and a night that I won't ever forget. The next morning, I went to the missionaries, and I just said, we need to do something here. This is getting really bad. They gave me two options. The first was, they said, we can get onto the vehicle, we could drive up to the ferry, we could take the ferry across the water to the mainland. When we get to the mainland, we're going to have to drive through the city of 11 million people, get to the far end of the city where the international hospital is, and then you'll have to wait. That's the first option. I said, what's the second option? They said, the second option is this, is that we can pray. And I said, okay, let's do it. They laid their hands on me and they prayed for me. They asked for Jesus to meet me in my time of need. And they asked if he would heal me. Within the hour, friends, I'll say this. Within the hour, the sickness had left my body, the pain was gone, energy returned to me, and I went back to work in the project that we had gone there originally to do that day. God had healed my body. He was wanting to show me his love, and he moved in power on my behalf, but not in the way that perhaps I'd asked him to. So when it came to healing, I sought God for this. I found that God was beginning to open my eyes to what he wanted to do, what he was able to do, and what he was longing to do, I would say, even in the church, but was not maybe given the opportunity to work in and through the church and through his people. So God called me to risk, to step out and be willing to pray, and not with an if in my heart, but believing when and how that God wanted to do it, that he could do it. He wanted me to pray, Father, could you heal this person? Because I know that you can. I prayed for many that were not healed. I prayed for some that had nice moments with God, some that were just pleased that somebody had prayed for them. But then some were healed. I was seeing God heal. I saw him do it in my life, and now I was seeing it in other people's lives. One thing that I found is that we were seeing more people getting healed when we prayed for them than when we didn't. Now, it sounds funny to say that, but the reality is this, is we often don't give God the opportunities to work through us because we're not sure if he will. I often say it this way, is we fail 100% of the tests that we don't take. This is one that God was asking me to take, was to step in and be willing to ask Him to heal somebody. Our lack of prayer may be the only thing at times that gets in the way of God operating in divine healing in and through us. Our lack of prayer may be holding back the flood of the healing water of heaven coming and touching people and giving them an encounter with God. So we prayed. I started to see more of it when I began to walk in a place of faith and taking God at His word. When you take God at His word, if He says that it's for you and He calls you to it, when you try to do it obediently, He's just asking you to step out in faith. And when you try to do it obediently, sometimes you'll see Him stepping in your behalf. I believe that God is able to heal, and He began to call me to take Him at His word, just like the Father in John 4, 46 to 53. There's a man who comes to Jesus, and he's desperate because his child is sick and dying. He comes with this place of desperation in his heart to say, I can't do anything else, but I've heard you might be able to. He comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, would you heal my son? And it says this, that Jesus said, go and your child will live. Now, he'd ask Jesus to come with him to make his son well. But Jesus says to him, go, your child will live. Take a step of faith. And in verse 50, it says this, the next words, and I love these words, it says, the man took Jesus at his word and he left. While he was still on his way, it says, the servants came to him and said, your son is now well. It says that as a result of this, that he and his whole household believed, especially when they found out that the moment his son started to get well was the moment that Jesus said, go, your son will be well. As myself, my wife, and some of our friends have been taking God at his word, we began to see Jesus is still wanting to heal people, and he is fully able to heal people. Christ is our present healer. I saw that God is 100% invested in our healing. He's wanting to heal people. He's wanting to encourage people, but he's also wanting to heal the body. The question often comes, though, are we willing to be interested and step in on people's behalf? Are we willing to invest ourselves and take a step of faith and courageously pray and give God the chance to heal through us? We believe that healing is for today and that is made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. That's important. But for many people today, this idea still seems foreign and rooted back in the Bible. A.B. Simpson said this, the founder of our denomination, he said this in his book, Lord of the Body. He said, I see no place in the Bible where we are taught that the miraculous is to cease with the ascension of the Lord. I'm becoming increasingly convicted that God's desire is to heal his people. The Bible is very clear that not only is it his desire, but it is also something he's able to make a reality to make it happen through his people. The first thing to be aware of is that God is real and that he has a real concern for you where you're at today. Regardless of your story or what's going on in your body or in your mind or in your heart, he has something that he wants to do and he wants to meet you in that today. He is our healer. Even back in the desert in the time of the Exodus, God was very clear that this is something that he wanted to do. He wanted to heal his people. One of the first ways that he spoke to the people and referred to himself was this. In Exodus 15, 26, he said, I am the Lord who heals you. You see, God is the same. He's unchanging. He is still the Lord who heals you. We may need to change our minds and our way of thinking about this, but the reality is he has not changed. T.L. Osborne, in his book, Healing the Sick, says this, people have changed God's I am to I was. Friends, we need to believe that God is the I am and I can, not the I was and I don't. At times we put limits on a limitless God and actually get in the way of him being able to do the things that he wants to do in and through us. It's wild to me that we as people can actually do that. Now, one thing that's critical is this, is that we need to operate in faith in order to see a spiritual thing happen in our physical bodies. Dr. Bernie Vandewall in his book, The Heart of the Gospel, says this, it does not merely hope that God can heal or believe that God has the power to heal should it be his will. It is rather convinced that it is always God's will to heal. It not only thinks such things, but acts on them. A.B. Simpson in his book, The Fourfold Gospel, said, divine healing comes to us by faith. It's not the faith that heals, but faith enables us to receive it. We need to make the choice to believe that he is able to heal by faith. Faith doesn't heal. Faith holds keys. It unlocks and opens the door to the healer coming into our lives. We see this over and over again in the gospel. Somebody had to take a step of faith. The friends believed for their paralytic friend and brought him to Jesus. The dad went to Jesus on behalf of his child and took him at his word. A paralyzed man later on in the preach here, you'll see, took a step of faith and leapt to his feet. The faith has to be put in the right place. Our faith is in Jesus Christ as our healer. Faith doesn't heal us, but it postures and positions our hearts and in effect our bodies in such a way that God is able to move on our behalf and work in our bodies. Now, this is important, and I want to make sure that we understand this, that God is most primarily interested in our heart, the issues of the soul. He's most interested in our salvation first. He's more interested in our holiness than our happiness. He's wanting us to actually have an encounter with him in the heart level first. So when people would come to Jesus to have an encounter with him to be healed, he would often deal with their heart before he would deal with anything to do with their body. We must understand this is a priority for him to do this. These moments with God of healing are always about a divine encounter with the God of the universe who wants you to know him and to know that he actually knows you. Imperfections, brokenness, wounding, shame, the hurts, the physical pains, everything. He knows everything about you. And he wants you in that place to know his love and experience his presence. Right there in the midst of all of it, that's where Jesus wants to meet us. He always went after people's hearts before he went after their bodies. He dealt with the heart and then he dealt with the body. We need to hear this today, though, that Jesus is still healing. He's healing hearts. He's healing bodies. He's healing minds. He's restoring what is broken. And he is our healer. Jesus is our healer for today, not just for the past, not just in the word, and not just for the disciples, but for you, and not just for you, but for others, for all of us around here. He is our present healer for today. When Jesus came all those years ago, he was sent by his Father God with a purpose, with a destiny, with a calling to seek and to save the lost, to save the world, not to condemn the world and their sins, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring renewal, to bring life to those dying in sin, separated from God. Hundreds of years before his birth, the prophet Isaiah even spoke about what this would be like. And Jesus, when he publicly started his ministry, quoted the same word. And he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus' calling was to restore a right relationship with God and man and to begin to lay the groundwork for the foundation of the kingdom of God to come. He was bringing heaven to earth and making God's kingdom a possible reality in our lives. Again, T.L. Osborne in his book Healing the Sick said that Jesus was the physical expression of the Father's will. His life was both a revelation and a manifestation of the unchanging love and will of God. He acted out the will of God for us. He came to preach the good news to those who needed hope. He came to bring freedom to those who were captive, those in physical captivity and those in spiritual captivity. He came to heal and make physical healing possible. He came to proclaim life to those who were dead in their transgressions and to offer himself in their place so that they could live. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5 says, "Surely he took upon himself our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Again, Jesus, through his life and death and resurrection, made possible our healing. We see this play out in Matthew 4:23 and 24. It says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News spread all over Syria, and people were brought to him who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Another translation says it this way: everyone who was brought to Jesus was healed. Jesus came to save us, and part of that saving is the healing. Jesus' name means the Lord who saves, to save, the anointed one, the saving one, savior, rescuer, or deliverer. When Jesus' father is told about the baby that he is going to be the father of, that is actually the child of God within his soon-to-be wife Mary, he's told this: "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." And this is what we know Jesus does. is that he saves people from their sins. He's done this fully. Our eternity in Christ is secured and is assured and set. Part of this saving plays out in Jesus' ministry of healing as well. It says that everywhere he went, into villages, towns, and countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all, I love that word every time, all who touched him were healed. The word for healing that's used here is found about 110 times in the New Testament. And the word is sozo. It's a Greek verb that's an action word meaning to be saved or rescued out from underneath power or oppression, to be restored into wholeness and to well-being, essentially to be saved completely. It refers then to being saved from eternal punishment for sins, to being healed of disease, to being delivered from demonic oppression and torment. And in some cases, it's speaking about all these at once. In Acts 3, 1 to 10, we read that. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk, and then he went with him into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at all that had happened. I love that this man has an all-encompassing encounter with God that heals him on all these different levels. We see him physically healed because he's able to get up and walk. His ankles are strengthened. He's able to walk, demonstrating that he's healed physically. Then we see that he's emotionally healed. When he has this encounter, it says that he leaps. He leaps down the street as they go towards the temple. His heart is just filled with joy. I know when a kid leaps, they've got joy inside of them. Try it sometime. It's actually pretty fun. And then the last thing is that he is spiritually healed. And the way that we see this is that he returns praise to God. He gives glory to God and he sings his praises as he heads towards the temple with them. You see, God is interested in our entire being. He made us body, soul, mind, spirit. He created us as an entire human. And he wants to encounter us in that entire place. Regardless of what your story is, regardless of what's happening in your body today, whether it's a mental, a physical, emotional, a spiritual issue, whatever it may be, reach out to Jesus today because he wants to actually meet you in your time of need exactly where you're at. He wants to come to you where you're at, not hoping you'll come to him first and try to get all your issues figured out. That's not how he works. He just says, "Come as you are, reach out to me today. Extend your hand towards me and receive the healing touch that I have for you. Invite me into your heart as your healer." Today, he is still healing. If you need an encounter with him in some area, some way, shape, or form, reach out to him. Perhaps consider pressing the prayer button at the bottom of the screen. Invite one of our pastors, our leaders, our staff, our elders to be able to spend some time praying with you today. Because we believe that Jesus is our healer and he wants to meet with you today. Regardless of where you're at, would you reach out to him today? And would you come just as you are?
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can deal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can deal. So lay down your burden. Wonder. sit at the table and come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary and rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All our broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, just lay down your shame.
In conclusion, friends, I just want to say a couple last things. First is, if you want prayer today, would you consider pressing the button on the screen and inviting somebody from the staff or from the church to pray for you today? We would love to pray with you in whatever's going on in your body, your mind, or your heart. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this, is that Jesus is very aware of what's going on in all of our stories. He's not nervous about what's happening right now, but he is very aware of it. I'd encourage you in this season to reach out to Jesus and to trust him. If you don't know Jesus, I'd encourage you today that this is a day that you could take a step of faith and reach out to Jesus and ask him to come and be a part of your life, to be your savior, the one who comes and meets you in your time of need. If that's something you want to do, press that prayer button again and reach out to somebody, and they would love to pray with you to help you to meet Jesus today. Also in this time, there's a lot of issues that are getting brought to the forefront, brought to the surface in our own journeys, stuff that we're struggling with, and maybe you're just having a hard time, you need somebody to pray with you or encourage you. Send an email to somebody at the church on the staff. We would love to pray with you, or again, click that button. We'd love to pray with you this morning. The last thing is this, I will say this, thank you. Thank you to all of our frontline workers. Thank you to all those who are essential workers right now that are putting themselves on the line, praying right now for you specifically, that you would know the healing, the divine health, and everything you need from God to be able to step into this day and continue each day well. Would you know his strength, his grace, and his peace in this hour? Would you know that we're behind you and we are praying for you? Thank you for what you're doing on our behalf. We will trust God for you in these days, and we will walk with you in prayer in these days. Grace and peace to you, friends. You are loved more than you know. Please come out next week and check out the service with Pastor Will speaking on Christ as our coming King. Look forward to seeing you then. Bye for now.